listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Scan the QR code to visit our website at aulc.us and find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and TalkShoe.
The following presentation is from a new series from Dr. Rob White called Blast from the Past. In this series, Dr. Rob will feature past sermons that were recorded live. We hope you enjoy this new series.
The first day of kindergarten, the big yellow bus arrived. Little Johnny hugged his daddy before he climbed inside. Dad knew he had to tell him it's gonna be okay. Then he said some words to help him through the day. You'll be fine. I will see you soon. You are mine. I'm so proud of you. You'll do great. Go on. Be brave and strong. I'll be waiting for you to get home. Down the road, John joined the army. The big jet had just arrived. Now they're standing at the airport, dreading that goodbye. Dad knew he had to tell him words he heard before. This time it would take him through a war. You'll be fine. I will see you soon. You are mine. I'm so proud of you. You'll do great. Go on. Be brave and strong. I'll be waiting for you to get home. After months of fighting cancer, his final day arrived, and Johnny was called in to try to say goodbye. His dad could barely whisper, but he just had to speak. Son, remember this before I leave. You'll be fine. I will see you soon. You are mine. I'm so proud of you. You'll do great. Go on. Be brave and strong. I'll be waiting for you to get home. I'll be waiting for you to get home. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather again to open your word, to hear your voice, to hear what you have to tell us, what you have to show us, what you have to say to us. And we ask, Lord, that those who have ears can hear, those who need to hear this, hear it. And we just ask, Lord, as you be with us today, as we open your word, because each time we do, we get something new and exciting out of it. And we just ask that you help us do that again today. As we go into our message, we ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture text today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by a revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. I seen I don't know if you remember, it was a t-shirt or a bumper sticker the other day that said, "Hey, Lord's coming any day. Look busy." Now, I don't know, I think that's kind of a paraphrase of what the Bible says, because what we're talking about today is what would happen if Jesus came back tomorrow. What would you do? Now, looking back through the centuries, there's a lot of notable, outstanding things that we can come up with that have taken us by surprise. The creation, that's one. The fall of man into sin. Noah's flood. The release of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Those all took the early first century and before Christians, well, they weren't known as Christians then, but took them all by surprise. Even today in our time, we have great things taking place, which still takes us by surprise. Space travel took us to the moon in 1969. That was kind of a surprise. Now, today, space travel is picking up again, and they're going to faraway planets like Mars and beyond. Spacecrafts are going there. They're preparing to send people to Mars. I don't know why. Doesn't seem like it's a great shopping place for me. There's new technologies that have been invented over the last just several years. New technologies that let you see your unborn baby weeks before it's born. You can see an actual picture. When our latest granddaughter was born, you could see the features, the fingers and the toes. That's exciting. We didn't have that when my kids were born. We didn't know it was going to be a boy or a girl until they were born. But new technologies come around all the time. There's been wonderful advancements just in the medical arena alone that has seen cures for some diseases. And there's more cures on the way that they're getting closer and closer. But the greatest event of all that's going to happen hasn't happened yet. It is yet to happen, and it could occur in our generation. In our lifetime, we could see it. Jesus is going to return to this earth. That's going to be the greatest event that is going to catch everyone off guard and by surprise. It will be the greatest event that ever happened to this world. Now, when's that going to happen? We don't know. But according to the Bible prophecies, the way they're going, it could happen any time now. The return of Jesus and the end of the world as we know it, these prophecies are being fulfilled. The Jews are back in their own land. They're recognized as a nation once again. That's just one of the many prophecies that says have to be fulfilled before Christ comes back. The only thing that stands between us and the return of Christ is God. We know we work on God's time. We don't work on our time or any other schedule. It's always on God's time. When God says, "It's time, Jesus, go back to earth," we know that it's time. But what if Jesus was talking to God today and says, "You know, I think I'm ready." And God says, "You know what? Go tomorrow." What if that was to happen? What if Jesus came back tomorrow? What would the results be? Well, obviously, a great many people would be surprised if all of a sudden the skies parted, Jesus comes down. Because there are thousands and thousands of Christians that look to the skies every day for the return of Christ. They would be overjoyed, but the majority of the world's population today would pretty much be surprised because they've neglected the Bible, and a lot of people don't even believe Jesus is going to return. A lot of people don't believe he ever died in the first place. This is just some great story in an old book. There's also going to be scoffers, of course, that's going to make fun of this. People laugh today just at the thought of Jesus returning. But the most surprised people of all are going to be the sinners who knew about Jesus coming back, but decided it wasn't ever going to happen. They'll be the most surprised because they'll think, I've got plenty of time. I don't have to worry about it. It's not happened for 2,000 years. It's not going to happen for my lifetime. And so I don't have to worry about it. Jesus will suddenly appear and he's going to surprise everybody. But mostly he's going to surprise the sinners that was not expecting him. Are you going to be one of those people that's going to get caught off guard just a little bit? You know, we see videos all the time on Facebook and YouTube and like this, of soldiers returning from overseas. Sometimes their families know that it's coming. Sometimes only a few family members know or some friends know, and they set up this surprise. So when the soldier walks in, their whole family's like, oh, I didn't know you were here. It's a big surprise to certain family members too, especially young children, that they don't know mommy or daddy's coming home. Not long ago, a soldier who had been in Iraq for over a year was allowed to come home for a short time on what they call furlough. It's kind of a leave. Only his wife knew about it. The mom took their little four-year-old daughter to the airport, but didn't tell her what they were doing there. They were just going to watch the planes or whatever. And all of a sudden, she sees her dad walking through the gate. She says, it's daddy, it's daddy. And she got all excited. That was a great surprise. On the morning of December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy as it's recorded in the history books, America was surprised by the attack on Pearl Harbor. August 6th, 1945, Japan was surprised when we dropped atomic bombs on them. How'd you like to wake up to that? Nagasaki and Hiroshima, gone in an instant. On September 11th, 2001, America was surprised again when two commercial airliners crashed into the Twin Towers in New York City and into the Pentagon. All around the world, things have taken people and nations by surprise. But the greatest surprise this world will ever witness is when Jesus comes back. Now, if Jesus was to come back tomorrow, he would find a great falling away from everyone's faith. At one time, nearly every person believed in God. They believed in the Bible. They believed in the divinity of Jesus Christ. They believed in heaven and in hell. They believed in the final judgment day. Within the last 50 years, things have crept into the Christian faith and changed all of that. The Bible is no longer relied upon for its truths because man now trusts in his own wisdom and relies on his own opinions. And today there are countless doctrines and religions in our world alone. Preachers of the gospel have been led astray from the biblical truths, and in turn they lead their church members away also. And these church members have sometimes been very vocal about the evils of sin, but they eventually yield to the things that they spoke against because their pastor has changed their minds. When Jesus returns, we need to be found living as close to Christ as possible and being true to his teachings. If Jesus was to come back tomorrow, the dead in Christ would rise first, as we heard in our scripture text today. Now, unfortunately, we're all familiar with death. We've all lost someone that's close to us. We've been to a cemetery at least one time or another, We've seen our loved ones dropped into an earthly grave, enclosed in a casket, and it's a sad time for everybody. When Jesus returns, though, the Bible tells us these very bodies will rise to meet him first, if they are Christians. When a Christian dies, the body is buried, but the soul goes on to be with God. And when Jesus returns, that body and soul will return again and then be reunited, and everything will be complete. However, the bodies of the unsaved, they're going to stay right there in the grave. If Jesus was to come back tomorrow, all living Christians would be changed and then caught up to meet him in the air. Since the dead in Christ will meet him first, the living Christian bodies will then be changed into the likeness of Jesus, and in an instant rise up in the air and meet him with those who have just been resurrected and changed, and they will ascend to their place with Jesus that he's prepared for us, for all Christians. Now, there's been a lot of stories been written and films been made about what it'll be like when Christ returns. Planes are left without pilots and passengers, and families left without a mom or a dad, and hospital beds are empty, and other situations where Christians are involved, they just disappear. Nobody really knows what it's going to be like, but the Bible says it will happen suddenly and without notice. There was a video that I was watching, and the pastor was talking to a group of like 30 young people and like this, and all of a sudden there was this blast of thunder, and there was like three people left in this room. Everyone else was gone. And it was a video about the end days, with the coming of Christ. But it was depicting, though, that's how it could happen. Because you're going to have unsaved people along with Christians. And those Christians, they're going to be gone in an instant. And the video was pretty shocking, because the way they did the cutscene and everything, and it was just perfect. It made the perfect example of what could happen. The Left Behind series tells about what could happen if Christ comes back again, about everyone being in chaos, those who were left behind that weren't Christians, or those that were Christians but they didn't quite believe, and they got left behind to help those to come to Christ again during the tribulation. You don't want to be left behind. You want to get caught up at the same time. If Jesus came back tomorrow, all opportunities for service would be done, be over. Most people put off things until later, or perhaps indefinitely, especially when it comes to Christian duties. Sadly, some people put off serving Jesus too long. And then Jesus will come suddenly and without warning, and there's going to be countless people going, I should have done that. I should have been serving in the church. I should have been serving in a homeless shelter. I should have been doing something. Instead, I was looking out for me. So often a Christian will say, well, I don't want to do that right now, or find somebody else, or I just can't do it. They come up with 1,000 excuses why they can't work in the church, or why they can't help with a nonprofit organization because there's no money in it. They don't have the time. There will come a time when there will be no more opportunities to serve the Lord. It's going to come suddenly, without warning. And then the accounting time before every Christian that was supposed to be serving but didn't, they'll have to answer to their books. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, all opportunities to be saved will be over. Every minute of every day, the Holy Spirit invites sinners to turn to Jesus. There will be no more chance to turn to Jesus when he suddenly returns. A preacher in a tent revival meeting asked for everyone who was saved to come to the front of the tent. When all the Christians had walked up front, he then asked those who stayed in their seats to look around and said, "This is how it will look when Jesus comes back. Do you want to be one of those people still in your seats?" That's another great example. you will be left alone. The crisis of the early church in the first centuries was what the theologians call the delay of parousia. To put it briefly, Jesus said this in John 14, "In my Father's house are many homes. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself. And where I am, you may be there also." The early Christians, they hung on these words. They looked for the second coming to come any day now. And because they thought Jesus just might appear any time, they seen no need to make any long-term commitments. Why scrimp and save if all you're going to do is just leave it behind anyway? Paul even urged the Corinthians not to enter into business transactions or to marry in order that they might devote their full attention to preparing themselves to the day the Lord was coming. He says, "The time is short from now on, both those who have wives may be as though they had none, those who weep as though they didn't weep, those who rejoice as though they didn't rejoice, and those who buy as though they didn't possess, and those who use the world and not using it to the fullest. For the mode of this world passes away. This I say for your own profit, not that I may ensnare you, but for that is which is appropriate, that you may attend to the Lord without distraction." That's in 1 Corinthians 7. Now that worked for a little while for Paul and the Corinthians, but the Lord didn't come quite like they expected. In the meantime, faithful Christians were dying, and they created a crisis. What about them? What prompted Paul to write in 1 Thessalonians 4, part of our scripture text today, "We who are alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will in no way precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord will descend from heaven, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, so we will be with the Lord forever." That is an everlasting promise. One day we'll be reunited with our loved ones in glory and in God's eternal kingdom. The Carter family, they said it best when they sang the old song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken," back in the 30s. We've all heard the song. I played it at the beginning of the service today. It says, "Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky." Our lot in life is simple. We long to be loved and to love. And whether it's a son or a daughter, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a husband or a wife, a co-worker or a best friend, when we come into a genuine loving relationship with another person, we want to hold on to it and make it last forever. And it's this very gift of loving relationships that set the stage for an inevitable grief and loss that we experience when those who are nearest and dearest to our hearts are taken away from us. It seems so cruel. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Yet through the eyes of faith, we see a bigger picture, one in which life does not simply start and stop willy-nilly without any overall purpose, but one in which all life is interrelated and interconnected and joined together as part of a great continuum that stretches on to infinity. Yes, our experience is temporal. In this dimension of life, everything that lives will one day die. That includes us and everything that we love. It's only a matter of time, and if this were all there was to it, well, our lives would be a little dismal, wouldn't it? As Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15, "If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most pitiable." The good news is that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised from the dead that we might receive the gift of eternal life. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have the promise of another dimension of life beyond this world that's complete and perfect and timeless. John envisioned it this way. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, Behold, God's dwelling is with people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away from them every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, neither will there be mourning or crying nor pain any more. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He said, Write, for these words of God are faithful and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give freely to him who is thirsty from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes, I will give him these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Revelation 21, 1-7. But until that day when God calls us home and we take our place among the saints on high, we will grieve as friends and loved ones are taken from us. No one ever said it's going to be easy, and it's not. And I don't know of a greater experience of pain or loss than losing a loved one. What makes it more bearable is we're not alone. God is with us. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another counselor, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, for it doesn't see him, neither knows him. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will also live. Through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the support of the community of faith that surrounds each and every one of us, we find strength and courage to go on, even when the closest to us are taken away. No one knew this better than Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was born on October 20th, 1828 in New Troy, New York. After graduating from law school, he moved to Chicago, where he started a small legal practice. He got married and soon had a son and four daughters. His practice took off, and his earnings took off, and so he invested heavily in the real estate on the shore of Lake Michigan. He had it all, or at least it would seem. He had health, wealth, and happiness. Then the bottom dropped out. In 1870, his son died. A year later, the great Chicago fire took most of his property. Spafford was a devout Presbyterian. In the wake of his loss, he looked up to God and he kept his faith. He became friends with the great evangelist D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody. In 1873, Moody invited him to come to Great Britain, where he was leading a revival. Spafford bought tickets for his whole family. They were to set sail in mid-November, but just before the date of their departure, problems came up at his law office. Spafford was forced to stay at home. He sent his wife and daughters on ahead of him and promised to follow in a few days. On November 22nd, their ship collided with another vessel. It sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, now safely on the shore of Wales, Mrs. Spafford wrote to her husband. The cable consisted of two words: saved, alone. Their four daughters was lost at sea. Spafford took the first ship sailing to England to join his wife. As soon as he approached the spot where the ships had collided, he stood on the deck of the boat. He gazed down into the deep waters of the Atlantic Ocean. He wept, he prayed, and he grieved over his children. And as he did, the words of a hymn poured into his heart. He rushed down to his cabin and he penned these words: When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows, like sea billows, will roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You probably recognize that hymn. In 1873, Philip Bliss wrote the music to the hymn that we sing today. He didn't call it, it is well with my soul. He entitled the hymn Villa du Havre. It was the name of the ship in which the Spafford family had sailed. To this day, the hymn stands as a testimony to this everlasting promise that we will be with the Lord forever. It's a fact. Jesus is coming back someday. The dead believers' bodies will be brought out of their graves. They'll be joined back with their souls, and then the living believers will be changed and caught up with the others to be with the Lord forever. Now is the time to get things right with God, not tomorrow, not later. May that promise give you comfort, strength, hope, and so enable you to live on faith, even in the face of grief and loss, never more praising God from all whom all blessings flow. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Your message and your words always mean a lot to us and always touch our hearts. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll help us carry these words each and every day until we can come together again, or until we can open your word again and get more good words from you. We ask that you give us safe travels today as we leave, go to our families, go to our friends, just go back to our homes, and just be with us, Lord, each and every day. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming. We'll see most of you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for watching and listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Athens Universal Life Church is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. This production is an AULC Studios video production. Copyright 2012 to 2023. All rights reserved.